Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 18, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Would you close your eyes as we bow, as we pray? Jesus, we honor you. Father, we honor your word. We honor your presence that is here. We exalt you this morning. And we thank you that you have inhabited our praises, that you are in this room and you are dwelling with us. Would you speak to us this morning? Would every heart be receptive to not my words, but to your voice? Would you soften every single heart right now? May every ear hear your voice. May every eye see you and perceive you. Lord, would you do a new thing? We thank you that as we behold you, that you transform us from one degree of glory to another. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we're just going to take a moment. I know we've done worship, but we're going to take a moment to behold the King of Kings again. You can kneel, you can stand, whatever it is. Would you just honor the presence of God in the room? Oh, Jesus, we love you. We fix our gaze on you, God. We behold you this morning. You're so fascinating. You're so captivating. We're in love with you, Jesus. And just like Moses said, we say, Lord, would you show us your face? Would you show us your glory this morning? We're not here to play church. We're not here for religion, but we're here to encounter you. We're here to behold you.
Come and behold it. Isn't it fascinating? Come and behold it. Get lost in his majesty. Come and behold it. Isn't it captivating? We'll keep on singing for all of it.
Come on, would you sing? It's so simple. Come and behold.
Come and behold it. Isn't it captivating? Come and behold him. Get lost in his majesty. Come and behold him. Isn't he fascinating? We'll keep on singing. For all,
come on, would you sing it? Come and behold him.
Come and behold him. Isn't he fascinating? Come and behold him. Get lost in his majesty. Come and behold him. Isn't he captivating? We'll keep on singing for all of eternity.
Lord, this is our cry, that we will behold you. This morning we gaze on you. You are beautiful. You are worthy, Lord, of our praise. You are worthy of our devotion. You are worthy of our affection. And we thank you that your glory is in the room. And you are moving. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise God. He's so worthy. You may take your seats. And as you take your seats, would you encourage your neighbor that God is going to transform them this morning? God is going to meet them. Some of us looked at our spouse and said, God is going to transform you. It's all right. It's true. As believers, when we come into the house of God, we should always be expectant that God will not leave us the same as when we came in. And so I do believe truly that every single one of us, if we have an open heart, will see God in a new way. He will reveal himself in a new way. So excited. I'm so full of faith. I'm so expectant for what God wants to do. This Friday, we had our first youth service of the term, and it was incredible. The glory of God was so thick and evident in the room. And I know as Christians, we can often say things like that, but genuinely, the glory of God was so thick that there was evidence of his presence. There was young people on their knees crying out to God, seeking the face of God. There was parts that were repentant. There was young people praying for each other, prophesying for each other. We had a youth prayer team, and they were able to be released afterwards and give prophetic words to one another and encourage one another. We had healing break out. We had actually one of our leaders, one of our male volunteers, he actually had been struggling with a sore back for over 5 years. And he'd gone to physio, he'd gone to doctor's appointments, he had tried different things, and nothing had worked. And on Friday night, in the presence of God, another one of our Connect leaders was actually felt prompted to come and pray for him. And so he laid hands, and he wasn't sure what to pray in that moment. But then this young volunteer asked, would you pray for my back? And they prayed, and then more people joined, and they prayed, and they saw breakthrough. God completely healed this volunteer. We know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so I believe that we're going to see his Spirit move in that same way, in a greater way this morning. And when I was praying last night for us today, the Lord kind of changed my message, which is fun. But I really sensed that the Holy Spirit wanted to speak on the power of beholding God. The transformation power that comes when we behold God. And so the title of my message this morning, if you're taking notes, is Beholding with an Unveiled Heart. Beholding with an Unveiled Heart. The first time that we are introduced to this idea of beholding God, gazing intently, looking at God with an unveiled heart, is the very familiar story of Moses in Exodus chapter 34. Moses, in the chapter before, is actually saying to God, Lord, I want to see your face. I want to see your glory. Would you show me your glory? And God tells Moses to rise up early the next morning and to go up to Mount Sinai, and that he would meet him there. And so we know that the cloud of God's glory comes, and God passes by Moses. And God cannot show him his face, but he covers Moses with his hand, and he turns his back so that he could pass Moses, and Moses could encounter his glory. And Moses is led to fall on his face. The Bible says that he bowed and he fell at God's face. And God began to give him a download, the Ten Commandments. God began to give him the instructions of how God's people should live. And then Moses comes down from this mountain. And actually, just to note, this mountain, Moses could not invite anyone else up there. He couldn't bring Joshua along. In fact, God told him to make sure that there was no animals, no flock on the bottom of the mountain because of how intense God's glory was going to be. And so Moses comes down from this mountain and he's ready to bring the message and tell the people of God what he has said. And the Bible says that the skin of his face shone brightly. There was a transformation that had happened, not only internally, which marked Moses, but it was so intense that it changed his appearance. And the Bible tells us that the people of God were afraid because of what they saw. The Bible says that the Israelites were so afraid that Moses had to cover his face with a veil. We read in Exodus 34, verse 34, chapter 34 to 35, says, whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the people of Israel what he had, what was commanded. The skin of Moses, his face, was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went to speak with him. When Moses was with God, he would uncover his face. He would be unveiled before the Lord to behold him. And when he would come down to speak to the people, he would cover his face after delivering the message. Moses would behold God with an unveiled heart, but the Israelites couldn't even bear to look at a temporary reflection of God's glory on Moses' face. So my first point this morning is that transformation can only come if we unveil. Transformation can only come when we unveil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, like we read, it says, "And all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image." It is with an unveiled face that we must behold the Lord. God is looking for a people who are not afraid to uncover themselves before him. God is looking for a people who are not afraid of him transforming them, but take delight in his glory. It is not enough to simply come into the presence of God. You must humble yourself before him. You must remove the performance and the facade and simply allow God to see you for who you are. In Psalms 51, verse 17, it says, David is saying to the Lord, "The sacrifice that you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." And I love the Passion Translation. It says, "The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I bow humbly at your feet." It is often said, even in fact, Pastor Chrissy will often say, God cannot heal what you conceal. If we enter the presence of God with a religious mindset that we have to deal with our sins before we go before him, that is us veiling ourselves before him. The Bible says that God says to come as you are into his presence. We cannot go into the presence of God being self-conscious of what other people will think when we encounter him. That is a veil that is covering our hearts. That is a hindrance. That is a barrier that we're putting between what God wants to do in our hearts. If we cover something, we try to stop the light of God exposing the darkness in those areas. If we enter the presence of God with pride, as if we don't need anything from him, as if when we worship him, it's just lip service, we are putting a veil over our heart. We are stopping the transformation that God wants to do. That is why even the Pharisees who saw God in human flesh did not leave transformed, because their hearts was hardened and veiled from his light. For some of us, it may be that. It may be that veil of pride that says, "I've sung these song lyrics 1,000 times. I've heard this message before. I've done that before." But may we be a people who still carry the conviction in our hearts that when we sing to Jesus, we are beholding him, that he is worthy of our praise, that when we behold him, there is transformation that comes out of that. God is looking for a bride who is still moved by his presence. God is looking for a people who are still tender before him, who are still vulnerable, who are not putting up walls, thinking about what is this person going to think if I put my hand up or I sing too loud. God desires a broken heart. God desires a broken spirit and a contrite heart, a repentant heart. Transformation can only come if we unveil. Transformation can only come if we unveil. And my second point is that transformation is uncomfortable. In 2 Corinthians 3, it tells us that we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. For every moment that we come before the Lord to behold him, there is a new level of glory that is available to us. The second time that this concept of the veil is mentioned in the Old Testament is the making of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a portable sanctuary which the Israelites would bring wherever they went. And so even through the wilderness, they would carry the tabernacle with them and they would set it. And inside the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Lord. And the Ark of the Lord is what hosted the fullness of God's glory on earth. It kept the presence of God. That is where he dwelt. And in the tabernacle, essentially, there was a curtain or a veil that separated the holy place, which is where the priests would come in, and then the Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, the presence of God. The veil symbolized the separation of what was clean and what was unclean. It symbolized a barrier between a holy God, a perfect God, and an unclean people. See, although the Israelites were people of God, they could not enter in because they had nothing of him in them. They had not yet been transformed. They had not yet become a new creation. They were still flesh. They were still sinners, but they had been set apart for God, and God desired to meet with his people. And so when we look at the Old Testament, for us to understand the significance of the encounter that Moses had, we have to understand that when the priests would enter into the Holy of Holies, even before they would enter into the tabernacle, there was a practice that they needed to do. There was a cleansing. It was a ritual, pretty much, that they needed to do. They needed to wear certain clothes. They needed to bathe themselves a certain way. They needed to confess the sins of the people on a goat or a lamb and send it out. They needed to do certain things to make sure that they were presentable before the presence of God, because if they were not, and they entered into the Holy of Holies once a year to make an offering for the atonement of God's people, if they were not clean, if there was a step that was missed, a routine that was rushed, the cost was death. The cost was not light. So what they would do is that they would tie a rope around the priest that was selected for that year to go in to the Holy of Holies. And the other priests would stand outside the tabernacle as this priest entered in with the rope attached to him. And if it took too long or something felt unusual, they would pull the rope and pull the priest out, because they were aware that something that is so clean and so pure must have touched something that is unclean. And that as human beings, we could not bear the presence of God. It is not that God did not desire to meet with his people, but it is that what is holy cannot be mixed with what is unholy. And so for us, this revelation tells us that the presence of God is so intense that when we meet with God, transformation must happen. Something has to change. And the one thing about flesh is that it is sinful. God does not renew our flesh. He doesn't promise to renew our flesh. He promised to give us a new body, but he doesn't promise to renew our flesh. Flesh must always be crucified in the presence of God. For the presence of God is like fire. It purifies only what is pure. But everything else that is not of God must die in the presence of God. And so because these priests were not yet born again with a new spirit, their flesh could not handle the presence of God. And so for us, when we come into the presence of God, we have to understand the significance of the price that was paid on the cross. For once, there was a power that humanity could not touch, could not be in the presence of. Now we have access through Jesus Christ, who tore the veil. Something is always being cut away when we enter into his presence. Something is always being transformed. When we uncover ourselves before the Lord and we're vulnerable, and we have a heart posture like King David, who said, "Search my heart, O God. If there is anything within me that is not of you, would you remove? We will see transformation in our lives. Transformation is uncomfortable, but it is for the glory of God. It is to take us from glory to glory. It is growing pains. There's growing pains attached to this transformation. It's not a light thing. It's not an easy thing. And so sometimes transformation, all times transformation, can be uncomfortable for us. But sometimes transformation can be uncomfortable for those around us. Our transformation could offend someone else. And we see this symbolized with Moses when he comes back down and the glory of God, his intimacy with the Lord, had changed him so much that the Israelites could no longer bear to be near him. What does this tell us? This tells us that sometimes God will do such a work in you that it will offend people around you. You may walk into the same situations, the same family meetings, and people go, "You've changed. What's different about you?" The same people maybe who have struggled with the same thing that you used to struggle, now you've been transformed, now you have overcome that thing, but it has offended them. But we shouldn't be surprised, because as Christians, we know that light and darkness cannot coexist. Light will always expose the darkness. Light will always make darkness uncomfortable. And I know that there are many mature believers in this house. And so the truth of the matter is that sometimes amongst believers, we can also be uncomfortable with someone else's transformation. Perhaps you used to share the same convictions about gossip with this person once before, but now God has renewed your heart. Now God has transformed that part of your heart because you've allowed him to. And so in those situations, you now have to turn away, because you cannot coexist with a part of darkness that they have not yet been transformed in. And it offends them, and people think, "Oh, they're being self-righteous, and they think they're better than us." No, we must encourage transformation within each other. We must celebrate the work of God within each other. It must convict us. We must not veil ourselves, but we must unveil ourselves to say, "God, whatever you did in them, would you do in me?" See, the Israelites should have said, "God, whatever you did in Moses, would you do in me? Lord, would I see your glory? Would I perceive you in that way? Would I be transformed when I behold you?" Let us have a hunger to behold God, to be transformed in his presence. Let us not be offended. Let us not reject the light of God in that area of our hearts. Because see, transformation is not only for us, but it is for those around us. When we are transformed, we reflect the glory of God to those around us. You bring light into those areas of darkness. And it may be uncomfortable for some people, but slowly they will realize, "I want that. I need that. I've struggled with these chains for too long. I see freedom in them." May we be a people that say, "Lord, would you transform me? As I behold you with an unveiled heart, would you transform me? For the sake of my family, so I may reflect your image, would you transform me? For the sake of my school, would you transform me? For the sake of my workplace, would you transform me? For the sake of my state, would you transform me, Lord?" Because the tree that is pruned produces much fruit. The Bible says that God chastises those he loves. He disciplines, he prunes those he loves. He transforms, he purifies those he loves. May we come humbly before him and allow him to transform us. What would happen to our worlds if we embrace the uncomfortability of transformation? What would happen? What would be the legacy that you leave behind? In your school, in your workplace, in this world. My final point is transformation can only be found in Jesus. It says in Matthew 27, verse 51, immediately after the death of Jesus, after he yielded his spirit, the veil of the Holy of Holies of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split apart. Transformation can only come from the Spirit of God. It is not a result of behavior modification. That is not what God desires. It's not a result of wanting to change even, or self-help books or programs. Those might be great tools that God uses, but ultimately transformation, true transformation, can only be found in Jesus. And like we read before in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, for to this day, when the old covenant, the same veil, remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. See, the old covenant that Moses brought down taught that you needed to live by a certain standard, that you needed to clean yourself before presenting yourself before the presence of God, that you needed to go through all these routines. But the new covenant says, come as you are. The veil is torn. There is no sin that is too great. From top to bottom, it wasn't man's doing, it was God. That is why it is torn from the top to the bottom. The place that once, that the symbol of separation between a holy God and a broken humanity is broken through Jesus. And he says, there is access to my presence. Would you come? Would you come vulnerably? There is access to his presence for transformation. Religion alone cannot transform you. It is the Spirit of the Lord. Following the law cannot transform you. It is the Spirit of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 30, from chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, it says, and even in our gospel is veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing. In the case, their God of this world has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Can I invite the worship team up? We were all once perishing, living in darkness. The Bible says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. But it is through Christ that we are justified. It is through Christ that we are restored. It is through Christ that we are redeemed. Christ has given us access to the Father so that the greatest transformation can take place. From living a life that is dead in our sin to walking in light, living a life of abundance, living a life of freedom, living a life full of peace, living a life full of joy. Because that is what the Spirit of God brings. That is the freedom that God brings. He came to deliver. He came to set the captives free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to walk with humanity. He came to dwell within humanity. See, the same power and the glory that was kept in the Ark of the Covenant is the same power and glory that is in Jesus. And it is the same power and glory that now lives in you as you say, Lord, here I am. Make this temple your home. Come and reside here. There is access for everyone. But would you come before him with an unveiled heart? Would you open your heart? And would you allow him to transform you, to give you a new spirit and a new heart, to give you the ability to forgive, the ability to remove bitterness from your heart, the ability to live a life free from anxiety and depression and captivity and addictions. It is only the transforming power of God.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.